Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Amen. Has the Lord done something in your life this morning? Amen. Amen. You may be seated for a few moments. We're going to take some time in our service this morning to honor our seniors. Talking about those that are graduating. You got that. Yeah, okay. So if I can have them to get up and come on down here to the front just for a moment. I know you just got comfortable, but I like it that Pastor Ryan had them all wear their gowns. And they have that big day in front of them this coming week. And no, you can sit on the sit in those chairs just for a moment. Yeah, okay. Then we'll get a picture like that here in just a second. Yeah, I'm going to put you on the front row just for a few moments and just want to encourage you with the word, and then we will honor you guys in this place. You know, I've had the privilege watching most of these seniors grow up. Evelyn and Tabor, I probably have known the longest. I remember them, several years back. And quick say, I remember Evelyn walking around in the diaper over there. But that's been years back. And then Rebecca came along at the age of 4. And I used to look down on her, and now she looks down on me. And I would see Zoe on occasions. And as they moved back to Amarillo, I've seen her quite a bit more. And so I've known her quite some time also with the Patterson family. And then Trace and Alexa, there we go. They started attending our youth group, and I've got to get to know them a little bit. So it's just been a wonderful thing. Our church has truly been blessed to have this group of young adults as part of our church. How many of you know that we need youth in the church? We need people that are learning and growing up in the church body. Our world needs Christians, young Christians coming up. So it's been a privilege and to be able to call them part of our church here. And, you know, I was going to say, I remember what it was like to be graduating, but it's been several decades back in the 1900s. And so I can't quite remember exactly what that felt like. However, I do remember the feeling of independence and the readiness to get out on my own. I remember that very well, and then later on that left me. But thinking of how I am now officially an adult, and I get the excitement, seniors, of and even understand what this moment is and how you might be feeling right now as you're thinking, I got the whole world in front of me and all these opportunities, and I think it's going to be a great time. You've been prepared for this moment, whether you realize it or not, as you've been educated in school and your family. Everybody's been getting you ready for right now and for this moment to go forth in life. So here it is. But this morning, I would like just to share some scriptures that can help each one of us or each one of you seniors in this chapter of your life. Because in this new chapter, you'll be faced with thousands of decisions, literally, in the future. Things you got to make your mind up. And some of those decisions are huge in your life. So I want to encourage you. And especially that because the decisions you make will affect how happy your life is going to be. And so I just want to encourage you this morning with a couple of scriptures. Psalms 119, 105 says, "The word is a your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." You know, the word lamp to my feet, it talks about everyday life. The word of God can help you through every moment, every day of your life, if you'll just depend upon the word of God. Look into the word for instructions, and that word will be that lamp unto your feet. A light unto my path, it actually gives you a direction and where you're headed. And it can be what we call would be where I'm going. And everything, every decision in life, if you make your mind up, you want to make it to heaven, make sure those decisions line up with that path. Because God's word will help you get there. In other words, use his word for a compass to direct your life in the future. and it will make a huge difference. You know, having a right relationship with God does not hinder one from being successful, nor from having fun. Matter of fact, it will enhance everything you do if you keep your relationship right with God. God's not against being successful. He's not against having fun in life. But if we use the Word of God and let Him guide you, you'll find it with peace, joy, and happiness in your life all those times. Ecclesiastes 5:18 says this, "Even so, I have noticed one thing, at least that it is good. It's good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them, and to accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past." So I just want to encourage you with that word. Let it word be a lamp under your feet, a light under your path. And you can have fun and be successful at the same time if you keep things right with God. I encourage you to get familiar with the book of Proverbs, because it talks about everything that you need in life, instructions. It talks about money matters, relationship matters, loans and loaning money, how to honor, how to gain wisdom, and it also speaks of several other things in life if you get familiar with the book of Proverbs. One of its scriptures says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold." A good name is priceless when it's compared to all the money in the world. A good name that you do what's right and you keep your name like God would have your name to be. Keep your character in that way. You know, if we're more concerned about our character or reputation than money, it'll be a good thing. Not that you can't have money. Money's good. I like money. You like money? Y'all like money? Money's not bad, but if we keep our name right, then you'll enjoy the money and you'll enjoy what God gives you. Because again, God's not against wealth. Loving favor, he says this, is better to have than gold and silver. And when you think about favor, I don't know about you, but I always felt like I was my parents' favorite. My siblings did not like it, and they were to remind me quite often that you're the favorite. And I said, yeah, I am. But you know, it's something about having favor from a certain person. And it says here, loving favor, which is favor from God, is so important in each one of y'all's lives. And it's good to have that favor, better than gold and silver. You know, and you think about the worth of it. Did you know that gold is worth a little over $3,200 an ounce right now? I wished I had a little bit of it. Makes me want to sell this tooth I have, but... But I'm just saying today, gold is very valuable. But listen to what the Bible says. Even though gold is worth $3,200 an ounce, loving favor is much more valuable than that. Whose? Favor from God. So if we keep our relationship right with Him. So literally, His favor is priceless on this earth when we think about it. So I want to encourage you seniors today. Use His word for a compass for your life, and you will go far. I can look back, but I'm not going to, and think, I wished I'd had somebody to speak into my life like you guys have had these last few years, as you've had people speak into your life about God, giving you instructions, being on your team, encouraging you, that they want you to be successful. You are fortunate, and they are fortunate to have you. So my prayer for you this morning and my thoughts toward you is go forth in God and let God bring success into your life. Amen?
Amen. Y'all gonna have to bear with me this morning. It's hard to believe that we've made it to this moment. And it's a little bit overwhelming, I'm not going to lie to you. Then you throw on top of Rebecca graduating, and you know, this dad's an emotional mess. So we're going to see if we can't make it through this. It's only supposed to be 10 minutes long, but there's no telling how long it's going to last. So y'all just, you know, I am a preacher after all. So, but it's hard to believe that 14 years have come. And 14 years ago, a young couple in their 20s came with great excitement with their four-year-old daughter. And now, I'm in my 40s. Jeanette's not quite there. And Rebecca just stood up here before you this morning in cap and gown as an 8-year-old about to graduate high school. Good grief. This guy, I just started. Wow. Very quickly this morning, I want to share with you some closing thoughts. And I know that we just finished an entire series through the book of Philippians, but I found that this short passage to be appropriate this morning. And thankfully, unlike Paul, I am not writing or preaching this from prison. But I do hope that it encourages you this morning. So turn with me real quickly. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 is where we'll be this morning. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And it goes like this. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge of all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. Like Paul this morning, I am full of gratitude. The first 6 verses are full of Paul's gratitude for the church in Philippi. And this morning, I too am thankful and full of gratitude. I'm first of all thankful for you, the church, the family of San Jacinto. You took us in with open arms. Immediately, this was home. You endured my first sermons, because prior to here, I'd only preached maybe 15 or so times. Thank you. We have shared laughs. We have cried together. Our lives have been intertwined by breaking bread, playing games, and even picking on each other every now and then. I thank God for you. Secondly, I thank God for our leaders, for Pastor and Robin. God knew that we needed you. And I hope that feeling was mutual. The foundation that you helped us build, only eternity will tell what it established. You spoke life, brought correction, loved, cared for, celebrated our biggest moments, and even cried tears in our hurts and sorrows right alongside us. Pastor, our relationship, even though it was a boss-employee relationship, grew to more than just that. You have become a trusted friend, a hero of the ministry, and an example of a great pastor. And I thank God for you. Man, this is hard. Lastly, I am thankful for the partnership of us all in the gospel. From outreaches to revivals to special services, through our partnership together, the gospel has gone forth. Lives have been forever changed. And just as in the past, San Jacinto has sent out missionaries and pastors, you do so now. And you will do it again. Because of your partnership, Rebecca loves and serves the Lord. And one day she will proclaim the gospel as a teacher and a missionary for God's glory. Because of your partnership in Jeanette and I, we will now go and proclaim the gospel to the city and the people of Odessa. You will be part of that. And I love in verse 6 that Paul says that he who has begun a good work will bring it to completion. Amen. With God at our side, with God at San Jacinto's side, the gospel will continue until Jesus comes in Odessa and Amarillo. Amen. The second thing this morning is you have my heart. Verse 7 says, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. We don't go through all we went through together and not have a connection. Just as Paul is telling the Philippians that he holds them in his heart, I say to you, I hold you in mine. Regardless of the distance between us, thankfully we're still in the same district and we'll still get to see each other from time to time. You have a special place right here. As I said it before, we are more than acquaintances or friends. We are family. You don't sit in emergency rooms, celebrate birthdays, walk through a pandemic together, and just stay friends. We are family. Family may not see each other often, but the love and devotion is still there. Always. A piece of San Jacinto will go with us wherever we go. As will Amarillo. Amarillo's home. This may sound silly, but Jeanette and I were talking the other day about all the favorite places that we're going to have to find new favorite places for in Odessa. And we don't have a Brahms. Come on now. It's hard to beat Brahms. Ice cream, I'm telling you. Especially in the desert. Thanks for that. Be looking for water, that's right. We bought our first house here. We sold our first house here. And never thought we would buy one and never thought we would have to sell it. There's so many special memories that we will carry with us and hold in our hearts. And so Paul then concludes this portion of Scripture with a prayer for the people of Philippi. In verse 9 it says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. As we step into this new season, I too will continue to pray for you. And I echo the words of Paul. I pray that your love may abound, that it would increase. I pray that your knowledge of who Jesus is increases, that you would grow in wisdom from the word of God, that you would be faithful to his word and to the mission before you. And I pray that it would lead to fruitfulness and righteousness among you. I pray also for Pastor Billy as he leads this great church, that God would continue to give him wisdom, that the anointing upon him would continue to increase, that God would use him and you to reach Amarillo for the glory of God, that the harvest that we have been praying for would come, amen, that a neighborhood would be turned upside down for Jesus, that you never have to drain the baptismal tank because of the number coming to Christ, amen, to the glory of God and praise of God. You know, I have a favorite scripture, and I wrote it in all the graduation cards and in their Bibles, and it comes from 1 Corinthians 2:9. And I love it because of what God is saying in that scripture and what I want to say to you today. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. San Jacinto, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for you. And we believe that the same for us as we head to Odessa. To God be the glory. Can I pray for you as Pastor Billy comes? Lord, we thank you today. Lord, I thank you for this family. And Lord, I pray, God, as we step into these new seasons, God, that you would use them mightily for your glory. Lord, that this wouldn't just be a place to come on Sunday, but God, this would be a place for the hurting to come and be healed, for the lost to come and be found. And Lord, that you would use them to accomplish that, to bring in the harvest. Lord, I thank you for all that they have invested in our family. And Lord, we believe that the greatest days are ahead. And I give you the thanks, the glory, the honor, and the praise. To you be the glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
June 6, 2011 was Oliver's first day at our church, 14 years ago, over 14 years ago, actually. And it's been a journey. His first experience in the parsonage across the street was quite the welcome into the neighborhood. SWAT fired a couple of flash bombs into the apartment behind the Family Life Center, and he thought, what did I get myself into? Not too long after, I believe Jeanette was here then, and they heard somebody breaking into their car, and Oliver gets his pistol out, goes out with the pistol in his hand, but the people were of no danger because he had no glasses on, so he really couldn't even see what was going on. He just knew somebody was in his car. So that was quite the break-in here to San Jacinto. I remember in our interview, sitting in my office, and he said he wasn't interested in leading worship. But you know, once you hook them, you can do what you want, right? So, but he's done that well for the last many years. And the first time I met him, we were at a youth event in First Assembly of God, Dumas. Went over there because Chuck Cook was a youth pastor. And I seen this young man. He was a musician, working on being a musician. And that was the first time I... And both of us had hair at that time. We were looking good, wasn't we? We had some hair. And so it's been good. That sense has faded away, but our friendship has not. We've had a good journey, Oliver, Jeanette, family. I've been dreading today, actually. So anyhow. We won't go there. In Acts chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, it says, "Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul." You know, in all that ideal, I'd already had someone hired just about to take the place that I was looking for. Then my old friend Randall called me up and says, "You know, Oliver Offit's looking for a job." And I said, "Really?" And so I thought, yeah, he said, he'll be great for you. And I said, okay, well, I'll give him a call. And that's what started all this stuff. So, and it says in verse 26, "And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled and with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." So if you can get Paul or Saul at that time, Paul and Barnabas, and they came together and they went together in ministry. Now, a year is nothing compared to 14 years. And so, this is what we've had together, is 14 years of ministry at this church. Oliver and his family has poured into this church for these 14 years. Not just sitting around, but they've been busy. His wife, Jeanette, has been faithful to minister along his side. Anything that we needed to be done, she would hop right in there and in the sound booth, wherever we need her. And then the women's department, she's been doing that all this time, did a great job. If you ever went to one of her events, it was planned well, everything was decorated well, and speakers were well, everything she did. I just tell you what, I think we need to give her just an appreciation around because of the faithfulness. that she has shown to our church. Amen. Willing to get right alongside of her husband and be in ministry. Then her daughter, Rebecca, where's she at? Way back here. What are you doing way back there? Oh, okay. Like I said, we've watched her grow. And she's been, literally, she was short and sassy when she got here. Now she's tall and sassy to me. But she has been, just watching her grow has been a joy. And I can't believe she's graduating. But she's been also one of those that have worked in the church. She's worked in the nursery. She's been teaching a Sunday school class. And she works in the sound booth many times back there. And she's been faithful to attend our youth group and be part of that. And you know, ministry, where we needed to help, she was willing to help. And I don't know if she was willing or mom and dad just said, you're going to do it. But either way, she's been doing it. So it's been a joy. And most of all, she's just a good young lady. Amen. You know, good character. And I appreciate that because that's hard to do nowadays in the times that we live in. So Rebecca, thank you. Amen. Thank you so much. Now, Oliver and I, over the last 14 years, have ministered closely together. He came on as my associate pastor, and he has been a good associate pastor. When I took on the position as the West Texas District Men's Director, he was my right-hand man. He made everything work. Not that I didn't do anything, all right? But I mean, he helped us to take that to another level for our district, and our new directors took it to another level. But he was instrumental in that and helping me at that time. We've been together service after service. We have been with events after events. Whether it was a district event or this church's events, we're always planning. We've been from funeral to funeral, singing and whatever we needed to do. We have ministered together from season to seasons. That's what this ministry's been about. And the whole COVID thing, man, we had to figure out how to do church. And he and I were right there together all that time thinking, okay, we don't want people to quit coming, so we got to do something to keep the people back. We came up with parking lot services, and then I said, let's get us an FM radio broadcaster. Let's get a station and all this stuff. We've done all that together. It's just been ministry together all this time. We've been through the sanctuary remodel, the fellowship remodel, the foyer remodel. And we butted heads a few times. And he finally would see it my way. Because I said, do you remember the pen? That signs your check. No, just kidding. But we'd have those moments. And you know one thing about a relationship? You can get upset at one another and also love one another and get things worked out. If you understand relationship isn't about, okay, I'm mad, we're over, we're finished, we've worked things out. If we've done that, man, we've had a conversation or two going to Lubbock and we've be heated and I think it's time for you to get out of the car and walk. But I'm just saying we've had those moments in life. It's not like everything was perfect. But I'm going to say we let the love of God work in us, the anointing of God be upon us, and it's been a time. It's been fun. In relationship, I've used him for a sounding board for quite some time, and I'm sure he thought, man, he whines a lot. But you know, there's just some. It's good to have somebody you can talk to, right? And so we've done that over the years. We've cut up together. We have. He took one of my old office chairs. I took a wheel off the bottom of it while he wasn't watching. And I just keep walking by his window waiting for him to sit down in that chair and see if it would fall over on him. And so we've had moments. Took the pins out of the hinges on his door so when he opened the door, it just fell off. But we've had 14 years of that. It's been fun. It's been good. And he still will play golf with me, even after I ran over him with the golf cart. So see, we're telling all of it this morning. Y'all thought we were working. But it's been a journey. It really has. And I thank God for Oliver and his family. They have done a great job. You know, oftentimes, if you want to know whether or not you're going to be a good leader, it's how well you serve somebody else. And serving, learning to serve, will help you to be the leader that God wants you to be. And I believe with all my heart they're going to do a great job in Odessa. But where Paul was talking about that they had been there a year, and we've had this 14 years of ministry together. And so ministry comes together, and it's great that we can do this. I just figured Oliver would be here until I left. I was thinking, well, he'll look all right in my office, but God has different plans. But if we turn to chapter 13, we find God has a way of interrupting ministry for his purpose. I mean, you know, God does that quite often. When Philip was in the midst of revival in Samaria, he was told by the Holy Spirit, go and meet a guy that's in a chariot. You would think, well, God, Philip went and started that revival, but God had a way of interrupting. You know, sometimes we think we're settled in when God all of a sudden interrupts us and moves us to that next area of ministry. And sometimes we don't hear that, listen, or sometimes we ignore that, and then we become out of the will of God. And when we're out of the will of God, there's no fruit that will happen or take place in that ministry because God wants us somewhere else. And we find in the book of Acts, in the 13th chapter, in verse 2, it says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called. Paul and Barnabas had been doing a good work at Antioch. The Bible says, hey, they were building disciples. They were doing a great thing. They were fasting and praying. In the midst of that fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit said, separate Paul and Barnabas. And so we find here, God, even though they were doing a great job there, even though that was happening, they were doing what God wanted them to do, God says it's time for them to move on. You know, that's a difficult time. But it's critical that in ministry that we listen to the Holy Spirit. Even when I was pastoring in Stinnett 8 years, I thought that was a pretty good stint. Until Ben Black told me, well, we'll fix that when you get here. Sure enough, 17 years. But I'm just saying today, you know, we get comfortable, but if we're ever just seeking God for where God is wanting us to be, then God will move us at His time. See, this is one of the things in the ministry I do not like. I was sitting across the table with Megan yesterday at Taco Villa eating some fine food. And I share with her, I just feel like I need to burst and have a good cry. Because I've had a hard time with this. Some of you have asked me, how you doing? I go, oh, I'm doing good. You know how it is. But it's been difficult. And I said, I just think I need to go have a good ball. Just go somewhere and boo-hoo for a minute or two. So I did that yesterday a couple of times in my office. But you know, at the same time, I was thanking God for their ministry that they've had in this church. And that we have touched one another in ministry. Because see, church can be one of the greatest places to be if we learn how to love one another. If we learn how to love one another, beyond our faults and our flaws. And when we do that, then it becomes a great thing that God wants it to be. It becomes a unity that God wants it to be. We work through our problems, and yet we build relationships that last for a lifetime. I remember when my pastor, Ray Cook, I had not been saved very long. Probably 2 years at that time, and I was one of those types. I bugged him all the time. I've told you that. I got there, and I'm an early riser, so he would be in the church at 6:30 or 7 on Sunday morning. I'd be there. He got coffee on. I didn't realize he was trying to get his sermon ready. I just thought I'd hang out with him. But I'm telling you, when he packed up after 2 years, or been 2 years, 4 years in that 1994, and I literally bawled like a baby because he was leaving out. And that's why I don't like the departing of things. But can I tell you this morning, God has other plans, which Oliver has shared. They have not taken lightly what they're doing. This hadn't been just the right timing thing. This has been a God thing. Come on, we can all say, well, we figured it, but this has been a God thing. God started moving in their lives and their hearts, saying it's time, it's time. And one of the things that you'll find, and he shared this with me when he came into my office that day and said, hey, Jeanette and I, we have called, we feel released from this church. What did he say? Not from relationships, not our love for this church, but the calling of God, the burden that they felt for the church has been lifted up, and therefore they didn't know. And literally, you do not want someone staying around when they've been released from a burden for a church. Because it's in that passion that you start to see things happen. And so there it is. I respect you, both of you, for that. And sometimes we don't understand why now, but let me tell you, God knows. Amen? God knew there was a eunuch that was riding on a chariot reading Isaiah 53 that needed a man of God to explain the word to him that he would become saved and be baptized at that moment. God knows. I don't know what it may be, but God knows. Because I want to remind you this morning of the last part of that verse I read, for the work to which I have called them. Separate Paul and Saul for the work in which I've called them to. So their calling has left San Jacinto, and for whatever reason, they're going to Odessa. Come on. I'm a panhandle boy, and I got to be careful how I say this. I really would not like to live in that area. Because what trees we have and what ground stays steady here, I like it. It's just not pretty to me at all. But for what work God has called them to, they are going. And that's where they need to be, in the will of God. So there we are this morning. We're at this moment, this time, that we're saying goodbye to this wonderful family, the office. Not goodbye forever. Well, I'm going to see him a couple of weeks at district count. Well, he's going to hang around somewhere, but we'll bump into each other. We're just not going to see each other each day, and no longer be part of our church other than the love that we have for one another. In Acts 13:3 says this, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Sent them away. Can I tell you this morning, this is not a funeral. Thank God. I felt like it was deep down inside of me, just the way I wanted to cry and mourn and all that because of the relationship we had. But let me tell you, this is a launching. Get it? Just as excited as we was when we sent missionaries out, this is a launching this morning of a young couple into the will of God, into their lives, once again, in order to do what God has called them to do. And we're part of that. Which as a church, it's our privilege to be able to do such a thing.